My name is Mike Tropea. I serve here as the campus pastor. It's been a few weeks, but it's been a blessing to hear from Max, Daniel, and Jacob last week. But I'm excited to be here teaching again today. And if you know anything about me, from over these past 6 months, I've been framing us this idea of, like, hey, we are a church family. We are made up of various different types of people, but we are a church family who serves with open hands as God has called us to here. And how many of you know family is a little messy, a little sad at times, right? Anyone have a perfect family? Please raise your hand. No, family has beautiful moments, and it's what keeps us connected. But also, there's sad times, also hard times. And I wanted to share with you an update as it relates to someone on staff here, and it has an impact on us as UB. So Ryan Fitch, you saw him jumping in the video, throwing hands a little bit. He is our GSM Junior High Director and oversees our Sunday mornings from 5th to 12th grade. He's actually back there with the 9th through 12th grade students now. But this past little while, he has been praying about, hey, what is God doing in his heart? And he's been seeking counsel about what that means for him. And he's 23, and he comes from Dallas. And he approached the leadership team and said, hey, I'm just being obedient to where the Lord is leading me. And so he's going to be transitioning away from here and staff as the GSM Junior High Director and moving back to Dallas in these coming weeks. So he's going to be with us for a few more weeks, but I'm just grateful for him. I'm grateful for his investment over this period of time he's been with us, and I'm grateful that he's being obedient to where the Lord is leading him. So over these next couple weeks, if you go back there and you have a student, can you just say thank you? Can you just pray over him? We're going to pray over him in a few weeks, too, when he does depart. But just the goodness of God to bring him near, to steward the lives of our students, and just to play a meaningful role in their lives over this period of time. And a part of this, as I've shared with you before, is I have a passion for the next generation. They're going to be carrying the torch of our church very soon. And not only the Grace kids, but in GSM students, and the college students at large, we have a role to play in their discipleship. And so I know this role here at UB over the past number of years is going to been a door that people come in and go, and I acknowledge that. So we are walking through an interim plan of how to steward the lives of our students, but myself and the leadership and also Daniel Edson are working to craft, hey, what does a long-term discipleship of 9th through 12th grade students look like? So we can start to make a dent in that 80% of students whose faith falls off when they go to college. What does it look like to fold them into our gathering, fold them into our serving, fold them in to understand what the church is and how we are to function before they get to college? And so I'm going to pray for us, but can you pray for our interim care? Can you pray for Ryan and his departure from our team? And can you also pray for what God has for us? And so we'll be folding some parents in that affects to help speak in to the ongoing discipleship of our students. Let's pray. God, we are grateful. We are grateful that you move on hearts and you have sons and daughters that are obedient to where you have them move, and you move the pieces, and you hold your church, not us. And God, I'm thankful for Ryan and his heart to serve our students, and we're grateful that he's being obedient to where you're sending him as he invests into what's next and into his relationship and all that you have for him. We just pray, and we're grateful for who you are in that. But I also pray for our church family, our students that are coming up through the ranks. As we come around them, let us be passionate about them knowing the goodness of you and teaching them the foundations of what it's like to be a part of your family, be a part of your church. So give us wisdom, give us insight into what that looks like, both interim and long term. And God, steward it as you see fit so we can continue to see the next generation thrive in a relationship with you. God, we're grateful for you. Be with the words today. Spirit of God, do a work in our hearts, open our minds as you continue to do that today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so over these past few weeks, like I just mentioned, Max Heller, Daniel Edson, and Jacob Helmezzi have brought it. Have you been blessed by that, church? That's just a blessing that we have on staff. And if we can get an opportunity to put that on display, the beauty of their teaching, but the beauty of the word through their personalities, we are better because of it. And so that is just my heart for us. But I've learned a few things. One, Max Heller cannot drive in snow and he wears shorts when it's really cold. Daniel Edson likes pedicures. That's something new. And Jacob Helmezzi had 8 concussions so far. We're seeing when the 9th one's coming. Hopefully not. But I've loved how they've brought faithfully the word over these past few weeks. Week 1 of this Life in the Vineyard series is focused on, hey, Max said, hey, what is abiding? And it's being intimate in being with Jesus. And that is what's going to produce fruit in our lives. And what Daniel spoke about is, hey, when our wills collide with the will of God, there will not be unanswered prayer because we are walking in the will of God. And God does a work as we abide with him. Our wills cross his. And last week, Jacob said, hey, as we make Jesus our home, we can't do anything but become obedient with joy. Because that is just naturally what happens in a life of being with Jesus. And so this week, we're going to a different place. Jesus is going to be making a turn in his teaching from being with me to becoming like me. This is what you're going to be marked by as the people of God. And we'll read that text shortly. But I want to open with this question. Not a question, an ask. Who has been the most influential person in your life today? In your walk with the Lord? Who has been the most impactful, most loving in your life today? And maybe there's multiples, but I want you to think about who that person is that has impacted your walk with the Lord specifically. Hold that in your mind throughout the teaching today. Also, I want you to hold yourself open-handed in your mind today. Who are you honestly? Who are you? Who do you appear to be, but who are you internally? And hold that with an open hand. So hold the person who's been the most influential and hold yourself with an open hand as we teach today, as we read today. So you see, as we are being with Jesus, the first 11 verses about abiding with him, there's a progression of becoming like him, or there should be at least, right? As we are being with Jesus, we should be becoming like him, that continues to grow into his likeness. And the text today will turn into that. And we'll look at 3 questions from our verses today. 1, am I becoming a person of love? Am I becoming a person of love? And so we'll read in John 15, 12 through 15 today. Jesus says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So as I mentioned before, am I becoming a loving person? Oftentimes we teach on the subject of love, and I think we've heard that message 5,000 times, right? Be more loving. You should be more loving. But the reason I position the question, am I becoming a person of love, specifically to challenge us today? What Jesus is saying here is that you are my friends. This is the mark of a people I call my friends, that you love one another. Loving others who are different from you. Jesus was speaking these words to the 11 disciples that were there in his farewell discourse, and there was a tax collector around the table, fishermen, a zealot, all these different messed up people like you and me are around this table, and he's saying, love one another. Love one another. And here is a definition I want you to hold today of what love is. It'll be on the slide with me. Love is a genuine readiness and longing to secure the good of others. A genuine readiness and longing to secure the good of others. This is the agape love that are characteristic of my friends, he's saying. It's sacrificial in nature. It is who my friends inherently are. That's who they are. You see, but if we are not careful, we can read this text, especially verse 14, wrong. And verse 14, if you could put it up for me, it says this: "You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you." When we look at this verse right here, this "if" statement is something that can cause confusion if we're not surely understanding what it means. Because you can read that and says, if we do what he commands, then he will be my friend. Then he will lay his life down. But that's not what this "if" statement means. It's not a cause and effect. It's the effect because of the upstream cause. Because you are my friends, do what I command you. Not to earn anything. We have everything we need if we are in Christ. And because of that inherent love, we then do things because he is working on our hearts. And we become a person of love. Otherwise, if it is that we need to earn his friendship, that's a works-based theology. And how often do we have that going on in our midst? Well, did I sin a little less today? Right? Must be getting better. That's sin management. Did I serve a little more? Did I serve in Grace Kids this week? Did I serve on team? Where am I pouring out? Well, you know, if I didn't, then that's looking at the work instead of the worker who did the work for you. We have taught that often that the way you can tell of your love for others is doing for them, is actioning for them. And we have believed that if someone is super involved, they must be the most loving person known to mankind. But that's not true. But we often believe that. But here is the truth: that true love is not based on an action, but as a response to the work of Christ. True love is not based on an action, but as a response to the work of Christ. And that is what Jesus is saying in this text. Let me explain a little bit. My wife is actually not here today because she is sick. And I actually prepared this example before she was sick, so it applies perfectly. So what would it be like if for me, I've been with my wife for 16 years, married with her for 12, and what would it be like that when she got sick, that I would just be like, if she needs to be taken care of, she's like, I need some soup, I need these elderberry syrup that will help somehow get it faster, get her less sick faster, and I would just be grudging with me going to get it, and just be like, I guess. Now I got to get myself up from the house, go get the stuff. And what if I was just begrudging in my nature about going to do that? And then someone saw me at the store, and I was just like, yeah, I'm just picking up these things to get for. And someone from the outside would say, hey, that's a loving thing you're doing. But I'm doing it in a begrudging nature, not in a loving way. But over my time of being married to her and developing a relationship with her, I want to come home with things in hand already prepped. I want to go get her elderberry syrup and 4,000 boxes of tissues, more than any human being should use in life, but that's what she uses. And I want to spend time with her because I've learned over time that when she's sick, she just wants me to be with her. And so I'll be like, I'll take care of Aurora's lunches for the next couple days. I'll bring her to school. In my being, I want to secure her good, and it's not hard for me. It's not out of duty. It's out of the genuine desire to be a person of love to her. I really wish I could tell you it's been all of these ways, and I'm a perfect husband, farthest from. But this is becoming easier, and why? Not just because I love her, but because this area of my life, which we often treat differently, Jesus has, as I've abided with him, he has turned my heart to say, I just want to pursue her and make sure she's loved well and secure her good. I've become the kind of person who is ready and longing to do that. The kind of person from which the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control easily and routinely falls. And this is what Jesus is saying in this text. Are we becoming more loving towards others because of what he has done for us? Are we becoming more patient with our kids when they're driving us crazy because of we realize the blessing that they are and the gift they are from God to us and what he has given us? Are we becoming more patient? Are we more at peace when someone says things to us within the body that hit us wrong and we keep short accounts? Are we becoming a person of love in the sacrificial way? And is that what marks us as a people? John Mark Comer challenged me with a thought this week that I'd like to put before us. He says this: if you want to chart your progress on the spirituality journey, test the quality of your closest relationships, namely by love and the fruit of the Spirit. Would the people who know you best say you are becoming more loving, joyful, and at peace, more patient and less frustrated, kinder, gentler, softening with time and pervaded by goodness, faithfully, especially in hard times, and self-controlled? Are you growing in love, not just for your friends and family, but for your enemies? When you are hurt, wounded, and treated unjustly, as we all are you finding yourself increasingly able to emotionally release the bitterness, to absorb the pain and not give it back in kind, to pray for and even bless those who curse you? And is all this feeling more and more natural and less forced, more and more like this is just who you are? Are you becoming a person of love and not just doing loving things? So my question for you this morning is, are you becoming that person of love today that people can say, hey, they genuinely love people? Or are you a person who just does loving acts and has to muster your way up? Are you becoming a person of love? One is because of a genuine friendship with Jesus. One is just based on being active. Am I becoming a person of love? And that leads me to my second question: what hinders us? What hinders us from becoming a person of love today? Well, there's four ways that I've thought through this week, and the first one is a wrong definition of love. What hinders our ability to be a loving people? A wrong definition of love. C.S. Lewis puts it this way: love is not an affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained. Better yet, 1 John 4:10 says it this way, and it gives us the fullness of the definition of love. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the payment, the propitiation for our sins. That's the ultimate definition of love extended to us. But how many of you know in our time and in our culture, we get our definition of love from The Golden Bachelor and 90 Day Fiancé, right? We tend to get our definitions from that place because we base it on a feeling. We base it, and it's crazy when those shows are some of the most watched shows on television. But it's true, and that's where we often get our definition instead of the definition, the fullness of love that was displayed for us by that which was most precious to the Father, giving of his Son as payment for us. And he was trying to secure our good with that which was most precious for him, and that's what it cost. But we base it on a feeling, and those things often change, do they not? They often change. And so we often associate our definition of love with the culture's definition of love. And so that's what hinders our ability to be a loving person. Secondly, our pride. And this one gets me probably every day. I often think I can be loving just by efforting myself to be. Any of you in that camp? I'll just do more loving things and hope it gets me better. I'm just gonna do the laundry for my wife without ever thinking, like, maybe I'm just not doing it in the right posture. Maybe it's not necessary. Maybe that's not what will help her in this moment. And I so frequently just continue to do and do and do and do and do because I think I'm capable in my own strength to do that, and that is a lie. That in order to become more of a loving person, it's to go deeper into the cross. It's to go deeper into the fullness of who God is, not based on me, but the fullness of what he has done on our behalf. And our pride hinders our ability to love because our love is dictated by us and not Jesus. Any of you in that boat? Thirdly, our brokenness. Some of us, a lot of us, maybe even in our church right here, walk around with church hurt. Someone may have hurt us within the church, and we hold on to that, and we don't forgive, and we won't let that go. And I've walked in this road for several years where I was just holding on to unforgiveness in my heart, and it hindered my ability to become a person of love in this area of my heart. Because we like to do a good job of stuffing it down, thinking it'll go away, thinking that is what the recipe for hope is to get through our brokenness. No, we need the Word of God, we need by the Spirit of God, and we need gospel community around us to bring these things to light, and God and Christ-centered counselors to help bring this stuff out and not push it down, because if we push it down, we become less loving, but if we unearth it and allow Jesus to heal us and community around us to speak into it, here's what happens. We become people of love. And lastly, amongst many others, busyness. Anyone busy? Anyone have full schedules all the time? We have full schedules that don't make time for being with Jesus or growing in his love for us. We don't take time to dwell on the fullness of the gospel because we have next notifications, Instagram reels, TikTok videos that never end, that you want to learn a lot of recipes or gardening tips, go on TikTok, and that's where I pull it from. But they take up so much time, and they say, I'm so busy, life's so full. And here's what happened to me this week. I often move fast, and it has consequences. Sometimes knowingly and sometimes unintentionally, but because of how fast and full I am, it makes me miss how my pace hurts and affects others. Like, I want my daughter just to say yes. Please just say yes. And because I'm fast, here's what I do. I respond fast and harsh. Amongst many other ways that I fall short in this area, and it hinders my ability to grow in love. Our wrong definition of love, our pride, our brokenness, our busyness. But the beauty of the gospel is God invites us deeper into himself. Leading to my third question, how do I continue to grow into a loving person? And the answer is here in verse 15. It says this, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. How do we continue to grow into a loving people? We live in our friendship with Jesus. We live in your friendship with Jesus. That's a funny way to put it. Especially in our time and space, we have a picture of friendship, and when Jesus was around, the picture of friendship was different. And I had something written for this, but last night it kind of changed. I was watching an Office episode for the third time, probably third or fourth time, and I realized something. Some of the most popular shows, The Office of all time, recently, The Office, Friends, it's still going strong 25 years later, New Girl, right? And shows just Modern Family. You know, I was watching it last night and I realized something. The reason why these shows are popular is, yes, because they are funny, but also because they give us a picture of access. How many, or Seinfeld, Kramer busts into Jerry's apartment all the time. Friends, Chandler, Joey, they just go into Rachel and Monica's apartment all the time. They have full access in the office. They work in an open space, and they have access and time with one another. And what Jesus is saying here is that not only do I know you and call you friends, but I give full access to you of everything that is known about the Father is made known to you, and you have full access to that reservoir of who I am. So you want to become more loving in your marriage? Come to me, and I'm going to show you. Be friends with me. Live in it. You want to know what is next for your career and how you can continue to lead where, be led where God has you? Come to me, and I'm going to show you through my word. Abide with me. You want to become more loving in who you serve and just why you serve? Come and know me. Live in the fullness of knowing that I will show you who my Father is. It's because of access that we have to the Father that we can live as a person of love. Church, are we living there? Or not are we just doing loving things? But am I becoming innately a person of love who secures the good of others at my expense? And we have the perfect picture of sacrificial love with the life laid down of Jesus Christ. And if we stare at him and we let the word, not just read the word, but we meditate on the word and we be with Jesus, we will, I can guarantee you, we will inevitably become like Jesus, the fullness of love displayed. Maybe you're in here and you have no idea what I'm talking about. That this friendship with Jesus, it seems like something so foreign, but the beauty of the gospel today is that apart from Christ, we're broken. Apart from Christ, we are broken, sinful, and flawed. And we've been living in our pride, living in our busyness, living in our wrong definition of love. But the beauty of the gospel is that God, like I just said, gave as a payment that which was most precious to him. And he paid for our lives on the cross in ultimate love, and in knowing him and submitting to his lordship and believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will have full access to the friendship with Jesus that will bring life to your souls, and we can be people of love here as God has called us to be. And you can know him, and I'd love to be a part of that story for you, that we just don't walk another day in isolation, because God didn't call us to that. He called us to himself, and he's made us in his image, and he wants to put a new heart in us to transform us for his namesake and for his glory, to become a person of love. So if that's you, I'd love to connect with you after service and pray with you. Pray with you in general if you're walking through anything. Just know you can always come up after service here, and I want to be here with you to walk with you. So in closing, as these past couple weeks, it's been cool to be under the teaching of Max, Daniel, and Jacob. But last week, I was serving in Grace Kids during first service. I was with the elementary kids, and specifically elementary boys. And how many of you know, up to fifth grade boys, there's just something different about their DNA. There's something different about them. But here's what was happening in my... Yeah, there was kids on both sides just doing the opposite of everything. These two right down here. They were doing the opposite. But here's what stirred my heart. Is that there's these boys that need to know the goodness of God. And we have an opportunity every single week, and they need men in their lives to show them not just a warm body, but they need to be people of love that have a purpose to invest into them, to see the love of God through us, not just a warm body that just stands there, but invest their time. And I love that there's another man back there. I'm not dogging women in this room. I'm saying we as men need to step up to a place of leading from love and seeing this is our responsibility and call and blessing because we innately love them. And there's a myriad of other areas that I'm not just calling people to serve. I'm saying because of what Jesus has done for us and him calling us friends, let's pour our lives out to be people of love. And you want to see things change? And not only your heart, but in the lives of our churches, serve, pour out, know the goodness of God, and abide in him. Back up to verses 1 through 11, Life in the Vineyard. Abide, church. And I believe God is doing that, and I've seen so many areas just this week of people serving others in their time of need, getting meals for others in their time of need. It's already happening, but we can continue to do that as we behold and abide with the person of Jesus and live in our friendship with him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling us friends when we didn't deserve it. Thank you so much for paying the ultimate price, which was death on a cross to pay for our sins, our brokenness. But God, you don't just call us to abide, you call us to become like you. And you, by your Spirit, do that in us as we submit, as we abide, and our wills grow in you, and we are obedient to what you call us. You put a new heart in us that grows as we were originally supposed to be. And let us here as Grace Community be known as a people who loves well, a people of love. For our next generation, for our current generations, and for what is next, God, let us be known as the people who love because you have first loved us. Not to earn your love, not out of duty, but because we are friends with you, and help us live in that friendship. Knowing we are no longer servants or slaves, not knowing what you're doing, but we have full access to the Father to make your name, your renown, your glory known. We are grateful for who you are, and let us worship with this in mind. We ask all this in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.